Well, I almost want to read the scripture again just to get it back fresh in our minds, but sit with what you remember, or if you've got your leaflet open, what pops up for you. The theme today in the scripture that we are given to reflect upon is power. And it's always fun to notice something brand new that you've never seen before. That happened for me this week. Whereas I was sitting with what Jesus is saying in the Gospel of John, he says something that I've never seen before. In talking about his own use of power, he said, I am not a victim. I lay my life down. It's not taken from me. I offer it, and I take it up again. He goes a step further. He says, this is why the Father loves me. Because I lay my life down in order to take it up again. That there's this circular flow that in some ways death and new life are the bump along the way to this larger thing, this power that he inhabits and is using that is God's. And that is, he says, why the Father loves him. This is deep water, because one of the things we need to remember whenever we're listening to, I would say, if not any word of Scripture, certainly the sermons of the epistles and gospels, because that's what they are, is they're collected sermons, is that in the mind of those followers of Jesus, there is, especially in the Gospel of John, there is always this implied sentence that gets tagged to almost everything. As me, so you. As I have done, so do you. Jesus is explicit about that at points, but it's always there, connected to this sense in which Jesus is tied into God and is also training his disciples to be and do the same thing. So I think it's worth spending some time about sitting with this reflection on power, what it is, how we use it, from the scripture today. So if power is the theme, there's a lot of kinds of power, a lot of ways it gets used. Starting with the first reading in Acts, there's the power of the religious authorities. This is maybe the power we are most familiar with. Top-down power. Power to control. Power to call the shots. These, their name, Annas and Caiaphas, these were the two, along with the other two, I'm blanking on their names now, Jonathan and part of the high priestly family, four families actually, that just traded the power around generation after generation, completely in league with the Roman governors, they had to be. So this is in some ways the religious mafia. Corrupted power, top-down power. And of course, their concern is power. They say, by whose authority? By what power are you doing this, Peter, who has just healed a crippled man? And they want to know. And it's not an open question. And Peter responds by claiming the name of Jesus, saying that's where the power is. There is power in the name of Jesus. And the early Christians did this. They lived under that name, which was, they were doing exactly what Caesar was doing. They co-opted this title, Jesus is the slogan, Jesus is Lord, from Caesar. Caesar is Lord. When you go over and look at the inscriptions around the biblical world, it's on everything. It's a billboard on everything. Caesar is Lord. And the Christians said, well, let's use that. Then Peter goes a step further. He says, it is the name, and it is the only way to salvation. There is salvation in no one else, he says, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. So, I don't know about you, but that is problematic for me and for many Christians, really since the beginning. It has created a kind of two-type Christianity that if there is no other name under heaven for salvation than Jesus, what happens to those who don't follow that path? Well, it's been pretty clearly articulated by the majority report of Christianity through the centuries. Damnation is the destination. And that orientation has given rise to every crusade and every inquisition in the history of the faith. Peter couldn't have known that he was creating a problem, and it's ours to inherit and resolve. How do we stand in this divided Christianity? Which is so ironic when Jesus is saying, I came to establish one flock and one shepherd. Well, thankfully we're reading out of John today, the Gospel of John. Shuttle back to John. John of all the Gospels has this sensibility that says God is up to something so big that it breaks all the categories, that the name of Jesus is so big that it is the name for everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's just, you kind of just said it all. Not stamping a Christian billboard on everything, but saying, whatever God is up to, it is so big that it includes everything, everywhere, always. And that's always going to be bigger than a name. And what John does to help orient is to say, God and the one who lives in God become so close that they become one. Not just Jesus, but anyone. And God is so like love that a synonym for God is love. So suddenly, it's almost like a key. Substitute love for Jesus, not as a way of setting that aside, but as a way of as what Jesus was saying. Suddenly, the door opens. There is no other name but love. There is no other way but love. That was the core message of the book we read in Lent by our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. Love is the way, and he goes further and says, it's the only way. It is the only thing that will save us. There is salvation, and no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That suddenly is something I can get behind. But now the stakes are raised because we have a choice. Again, there's a lot of ways to be empowered, to use power, to understand power. And love, as powerful as we say it is kind of power like gravity. It's inexorable, but it's weak. It doesn't command except in its just insistence. There's a lot of ways to defy it. And we see a couple of them today. This alignment with a collusion with empire, top down, control oriented. Or the power of exclusion. Again, what Christianity and any religious system, any system, pick your system, does well at, of we are the ones inside the circle and they are the ones outside the circle. We may invite them in, but we'll let them know who's in and who's out, and we'll decide who is in and who's out. That is, whenever we run on those fuels, those are dirty fuels. They work. There's a lot of power in them, tremendous amount of power, but there is a great cost. To use the imagery of Jesus' parable of the Good Shepherd, when we use those fuels, we become like hired hands more than shepherds, or even worse, like wolves. Devours more than it sustains. The power of love is clean burning, but also costly, but costly in a different way. It is, I don't say this flippantly, it's way more than rainbows and kittens. It is sacrifice. It is going to the cross. It is offering everything. Being in love with love, enough to bet everything on it. And it gets even more powerful in seeing it as this power that transcends everything. So we have the power to lay our lives down and take them up again, not be stopped. And what we offer and what we give ourselves to is not stopped by anything. And actually, usually death is involved. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about the way our dreams die, almost have to die for them to become bigger than something controlled by our egos. When they die, and that is as painful as any physical death, those of us who have experienced those deaths, they're real, they're deep, they are as dead gets. And then, does anybody who's still breathing can tell a story about the death of a vision or a dream or a way or a relationship? And by giving ourselves to it, by choosing the power to lay it down and then take up life again, experience something larger. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, this is an image that anchors our orientation. It actually, in Christian life, long before the cross was used, a couple hundred years before that became the dominant image, the shepherd was the dominant painted image on the catacombs. Shepherd and the anchor. Life sustaining, nurturing, holding images. They can power our life, but the cost is a deep investment with the world. A deep caring that puts us in solidarity and suffering. That's what solidarity is suffering with compassion. But there is no other way. There is no other fuel that will actually carry us to this kingdom of God that restores all things. And as we choose this power of love, how we live with one another becomes the most important thing we will ever do, individually or collectively. That's where you can tell what the fuel we're burning is, how we are with one another. Love at the individual level is almost always an action. Sometimes it starts with action and becomes a disposition. Sometimes it starts here and ends in action, but it's always going to involve action. And it's, like I said last week or the week before, it's kind of what we learned in kindergarten. Saying thank you. Those things that appreciate rather than criticize, or nurture rather than control. It's lived out in the daily. And then collectively, a kind of boots on the ground love. What is kind of hanging like a haunting question, good haunting. What is our mission as a community in Norwalk after COVID? That's a real question. Because we all have been saying the world has changed and is changing and will change. So how does the mission of love, how does the name of love, how does that life-changing power of the world, like gravity that draws all into the embrace of God, what's our part in that? That's something we'll learn together by praying, by exploring, by talking, by asking. Love in action. As we walk on together, there is a way, the way of love, that becomes our every step. And we continue to learn what shape, what texture, what feel, what flavor, what sound that is as we share that love with each other. And this is the work. This is what will hold us and what will carry us forward. So the last word belongs to our patron, St. Paul, who says, as a command, an invitation, it's from Ephesians, walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us, as love loved us, gives itself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. And then he says something that is so encouraging. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, his name of love, forever and ever.